KYT, Anna and Ben with you. Don't encourage this. Don't encourage it. I'm in a mood today. And yeah. But anyway, should we read some
things,
TYT
things,
lives?
Things women can say and that men can't.
Like what?
I'm in a mood today.
I think men can say that. I feel like when women say that, it's like, oh, are you on your period?
Well, then when a guy says it, they'd be like, oh, what, are you a woman on your period?
Either way, it comes back to women being irrational and emotional, right?
Good point. Fair point.
All right. I'm going to read some TYT lives, even though I wasn't in the first hour and I have no idea what you guys are talking about. Henrik Rodriguez says, great strategy, dangerous precedent.
Okay. All right. Then. Global warming. I was like, the talk about climate change needs to be amped up of the consequences because it doesn't reach regular people. Mm-hmm. You know, fear, we respond to fear. And so I was saying that climate change activists need to scare us a little more with the results, like hunger.
Right? I agree with you on that. Although I feel like researchers have tried so many different strategies and none of them have worked. Like, I remember there was a period of time where they're like, okay, they're not understanding the catastrophic impact of climate change. They don't understand that, you know, entire countries are going to be underwater. So why don't we try to hit them where it really hurts? Bacon will no longer be available.
Right, right.
Stuff like that. And it didn't work. It didn't work.
Well, I mean, but it wasn't sustained long enough. Because, I mean, because we just read stories and like, oh, the ocean temperature is 1 to 4 degrees hotter by 2100, half the coral reefs. Other people, people I know and like, be like, ugh, who cares about coral reefs? Right?
Yeah.
Like, but you need to know why that matters.
Yeah.
So I just think the need, and I get it. If it's this serious, it is this serious. Not if it's this serious, it is this serious. So there needs to be a little more sense of a true sense of holy Christ needs to exist inside the hearts of everyday Americans.
Yeah, the media never fearmongers about the right things.
That's right. That's right. They fearmonger about the wrong stuff, but not about this. Like voter fraud.
Yeah. Yeah.
12 people voted twice.
I fear that this side conversation was built off of maybe not what that tweet was about. I think it may have been about the ISIS redirection online, because then the precedent it sets that now they can redirect where you're going to go and get your information.
Could have been either one.
I'm just saying, Ben. Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right, guys. I am going to go ahead and skip the first story.
Wow,
and
bold.
Go.
Huh? Is that the
the prison story? We will cover that this week, I promise, but since we're doing town hall coverage tonight, we have a very limited second hour, and there are a lot of other stories that I want to get to, so let's skip ahead to the second story. You guys ready for it? Okay. All right. A Texas police officer who was sexually abused as a child later became a cop and went after the person who victimized her in her childhood. Now, the person that she went after is Earlis Chasen, who's 47 years old, and she essentially got him to confess to sexually assaulting her when she was a child. And as a result, he is now going to spend a lot of time in prison. So Earlis Chasen, 47, was convicted of aggravated sexual assault of a child and 2 counts of indecency with a child by contact in Texas in August. He has been given a life sentence and 2 separate 7-year sentences for the indecency convictions to be served consecutively. He will not be eligible for parole for 42 years. Now, some of you might think, oh, wow, that's an insane sentence. Usually, you know, it's not a life sentence when someone sexually molests or assaults someone.
Does he even swim?
I don't get it.
It's a Brock Turner joke.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. No, I mean, if he was a wealthy young swimmer, maybe.
What's his time in the 100 meters? That's what we need to know.
So apparently he abused his victim. The cop is unidentified. She does not want to reveal her identity. And usually when it comes to cases of rape or sexual assault, the media does not report who the person is either. But Chasen abused his victim, now 27, over a period of 4 years at their homes in Louisiana and Texas, starting from when the victim was 8 years old. He was already a registered sex offender after serving jail time for the abuse of an 8-year-old child in Louisiana, which is the reason why his new sentences are so long. But it's an incredible story because here you have a woman who was victimized like this. She later becomes a police officer and uses her job in order to get this guy. And she successfully got him to confess to assaulting her when she was a child. She was wired. She had a tape recorder hidden in her bra. And luckily, he did confess. And now, hopefully, now justice will be served. Here's what she says. He was talking like he was talking to his best friend. 6 times he confessed in the first hour and a half of that recording. Chasen stated that he believed, "I always stopped before I went too far and repeatedly blamed the woman for the abuse," at one point saying, "I'd be laying on the couch and then you'd get that look in your eyes." Ugh.
She was 8.
She was 8. So let me give you more details about what he said. He said, I'm sorry, when the woman said he should have not entered her room while she was asleep, he responded, "I kept you a virgin, didn't I?" The recording was played in court, in which Chasen was also heard saying, "I mean, it takes two, and it's not that I was forcing you. It's just the penis has no conscience, and there's no explanation for it. You was young, curious, and I should have knew better. I should have never put myself in them positions to get aroused, to even get aroused. But at least I caught myself before I'd done something stupid." Yeah, molesting her and sexually assaulting her is something stupid. It's something criminal. It's illegal. And I'm so happy he's put behind bars.
Oral sex. I should have known better. And I caught myself before I did something stupid. At least he's really facing what he did. He's really standing up and he understands the magnitude of it. Yeah, I mean, good for her. And he was already, as you said, he was a registered sex offender for a situation with another 8-year-old.
Yes, yeah. So this wasn't the first time he had done it.
Yeah, for serving jail time for the abuse of an 8-year-old in Louisiana. And she was 8 also, right?
Yeah.
Started when she was like 8.
Yeah, so wow, he would amazing. Specifically abuse children.
Yeah.
He deserves to be in prison, so I'm happy he got the sentence that he got.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Brock Turner, the Stanford University or former Stanford University swimmer who was sentenced to a measly 6 months in jail for raping a woman behind a dumpster, was released only 3 months into his sentence based on good behavior. Now, as a result, the public is outraged by his short sentence, which was cut even shorter. And one photography major at Ithaca College decided to use this horrendous tragic event to raise awareness through her art. So she came out with a series known as It Happens. It's a photo series that kind of breaks a lot of stereotypes regarding sexual assault, rape, and where they likely occur. So what she wanted to do is kind of show that there are different types of victims, whether they're male or female, whether they're gay or straight. And she also wanted to show that rape happens in places that individuals least expect. So let's take a quick look at these images. They're difficult to look at, so I just want to give you that warning. It happens suddenly. So there's a woman. It appears she's in a bathroom. Let's take a look at the next one, please. It happens unexpectedly. One thing that she also wanted to draw attention to is that the vast majority of sexual assault and rape victims are victimized by someone they already know. It's not usually a stranger, someone that they're not familiar with. Let's take a look at some more of these photos, please. It happens unwillingly. So there you kind of see that, you know, rape can happen within the LGBT community. It doesn't have to be a heterosexual situation. That one's really like...
Yeah, that's a...
They're hard to look at, right? And she wanted to make sure that the victim... And by the way, these aren't real victims. These are obviously models for the photo series. But she wanted them to all look into the camera to kind of add like this effect,
yeah,
to show the severity.
But there's a dispassionate quality to their... that's horrible.
Yeah, so that's supposed to depict what happened in the Brock Turner case.
Yeah. Did you see the story about what's happening outside Brock Turner's house?
No, what's going on?
Protests outside Brock Turner's house, including a lot of armed people, mm-hmm. many armed people outside Brock Turner's house. It's a rare combination of the militaristic movements in America and gun rights activists
mm-hmm.
On the same side as the sensible world who's concerned that the woman's allegations weren't taken seriously and Brock Turner's privilege accorded him the soft, lenient sentence. That said, it's alarming. And to me, it was, you know, a moment where I'm like, well done. Now I'm sympathetic to Brock Turner, which I got zero interest in being. But his family shouldn't have armed people outside their house and they shouldn't be getting threatening messages. And the suggestion, you got a guy with an automatic weapons, more than one, outside your home, it terrifies you. And that's not the proper protest for what is a legitimate protest of the lenient sentence that he got.
Okay, so what I don't understand is, what is your message in showing up with a gun? If you want to protest outside his home, that's your First Amendment right, mm-hmm. right? So I don't have a problem with the protests themselves, but the threats, you know, going after him with weapons. Look, he's a deplorable person. What he did was horrendous, and I don't support him in any way, shape, or form. But showing up with weapons, I mean, what are you expecting to do with that?
Yeah, and you know, like, again, it reminds me of people showing up with weapons at the Republican convention in Cleveland, mm-hmm. which came right after the horrible police shootings in Dallas and Baton Rouge. And so the cops in Cleveland were like, hey, man, we're on edge. Mm-hmm. Please don't do this. Right?
Yeah.
And here, like, you know, people are really angry about this. And when people are particularly angry, they do something stupid. Don't, again, take, yes, you have the right to bring your gun. Good on you. Mm-hmm. Right? Show up with a sign. Show up with a sign. And that's it. And mostly the protest should be done at the judge's home, I think.
But, yeah. Well, you know, the update regarding the judge was that Aaron Persky was the judge that ruled in, honestly, Brock Turner's favor. But he has decided to step down from hearing criminal cases, and now he is only hearing civil cases. And there was a big debate on a TYT panel about whether or not he should be able to do that. There are still individuals who are fighting to get him out of being a judge altogether, and I guess we'll see what happens with that. But I'm happy he's not hearing criminal cases. I don't think that he made a good decision when it comes to Brock Turner's sentence.
Yeah, it's not just a bad decision. It showed a lack of awareness on a number of levels. One, not taking sexual assault seriously enough. Two, giving Brock Turner clearly a sentence that does not line up with what someone with less privilege would have received.
Exactly.
I mean, in a sense, we'd like to see from Judge Persky, be like, oh no, I had a poor black kid rape a woman too. I also gave him, he only served 3 months too. But we know that situation almost never happened. So it was wrong on two levels. But yeah, so I'm glad he's also not hearing criminal cases. But obviously he gets to. There's a process for removing him from office. We can't just yank people out of office because we don't like a couple of rulings that they made. But don't bring guns to Brock Turner's house. Don't do it.
By the way, guys, one of the most important things for you to do is get involved in local politics. And so oftentimes these questionable judges get reelected because they don't, incumbents usually get reelected in politics, right? Whether it be a judge, a member of Congress, a state representative. And the reason why incumbents have such an easy time getting reelected is because people aren't as engaged in local politics. Get engaged. Know what's going on in your city, in your town. It's super important. It's just as important as congressional elections, which midterm elections, which also don't get a lot of voter turnout.
Frequently, these guys are unopposed. Real quick about Brock Turner, a dozen armed protesters outside his house with signs calling for the castration and killing of rapists. And some say they plan to frequently return to make him uncomfortable in his own home. This is wrong on every level. With an extremely lenient sentence, he thinks he can get away with this, said Daniel Harden, who was carrying an M4 assault rifle, said in an interview. The message we want to send is, if you try this again, we will shoot you.
And then you're going to go to prison,
and
by the
just
way.
Don't, this is not, we don't threaten to shoot people. Like, I got, with the reaction to this was actually sort of encouraging. Like, mm-hmm. there was unanimity of, like, Judge Persky, you can't do this. This mm-hmm. guy deserves prison time, you know? And then maybe 3 years, maybe 8 years, maybe 15 years, but that's at least a conversation that people could have, right? But not 6 months where he serves three,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Not that. Everybody knows not that, but you can't, then you show up and you suggest that we're going to shoot rapists and that we're going to kill you, we're going to shoot you next time, and you make him uncomfortable in his own home and make his parents uncomfortable in the home, and I got it. I don't see, and this is what happens, and then all of a sudden here I am being sympathetic for a guy I got no interest in being sympathetic to.
Yeah.
So protest, leave your damn guns behind.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to switch gears, and I want to show you an awesome biopic that was made possible by our members. You don't want to miss it.
We'll be right back.
back to TYT. Anna and Ben with you, the Banana Hour. A few TYT lives. So Sean Fitzgerald had a comment about the first story we talked about regarding the cop who caught the person who victimized her. He says she's a boss, American hero. Also, the rationalizations are gross, but I'm glad he is open about thinking that way since he confessed. So, yeah, that's a really interesting way of looking at it, right? I mean, when someone gets raped, there's only one person to blame. That's the rapist. And the fact that he tries to put the blame on a freaking 8-year-old, like, what did he think, that an 8-year-old was seducing him?
Yeah, clearly. Yeah, you gave him that look. So gross. So gross.
Yeah. Beth Haven says, actually, they have said they are doing it to scare the crap out of him. They want him to leave, referring to Brock Turner and the protesters outside of his home. I haven't read that story. The first time I heard about it was when Ben presented it. But, look, I get it. I don't know. But at the same time, I just worry. I worry about people carrying guns and, and showing up at protests like that.
And that's not – the people carrying guns, I'm not defending it for a second. Like, I get it. You might want him to leave your neighborhood, and he's going to go to another neighborhood. Every time you send somebody somewhere else, they're going to go somewhere else, right? Mm-hmm. And the frustrating thing is it's been adjudicated. It was adjudicated poorly, but it's been adjudicated. Mm-hmm. So the effort has to be not on Brock Turner, but the effort has to be on Judge Persky to make sure, and to send a message not just to Judge Persky, but send a message to every other judge who's going to hear these cases.
Yeah.
That, oh, wait, there are repercussions for this, and I need to maybe think differently about how I deal with sexual assault. This is a movement. It's not about Brock Turner anymore.
And I want to read one more from Bill Runaway. I'm not in the least sympathetic to this piece of crap. Let him spend 5 years locked in his mom's house. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sympathetic toward him. I don't think that's the right word. If anything, I'm more concerned about protesters taking things a step too far and then getting themselves into trouble, right?
Or again, he doesn't deserve to get shot at all for going to the grocery store, and it's been adjudicated. And at some point when it's been adjudicated, we have to let certain parts of it go. You don't have to let go what's in your head, and you don't have to let go part of any movement to change it to make sure this is taken seriously and doesn't happen again. But you can't go around his house. I mean, you can, obviously, it's allowed. But it's a bad idea. It's a terrible idea. And it will end badly. Mm-hmm. It will end badly. I don't feel bad if shame keeps him from leaving his house. Okay, he's certainly earned that. But you shouldn't be afraid to leave your house because you're afraid to get shot, no matter what crime you committed, no matter what crime you committed in America. And mob rule and vigilante justice is wrong. This isn't a Charles Bronson movie. This is the United States of America. So take your guns and go home. And dedicate that energy to doing something productive to make sure this doesn't happen to another girl.
Every time I hear Charles Bronson's name, I think of my dad. Like, my dad loved
Charles
Bronson.
He'd love those, yeah.
Charles Bronson. Okay, anyway, I wanted to add one more thing to that. Look, in the court of public opinion, Brock Turner's guilty for life.
Yeah,
like, he's, in a way, he's imprisoned for life. Like, I would find it very hard to believe that anyone would want to employ him, you know? I mean, he's got pretty much the worst reputation you can have. So if you want some justice and you feel like justice wasn't served through our courts, there is some justice in the court of public opinion. I mean, his life in a lot of ways is destroyed.
Yeah, that's right. So that's true, more so than if he'd just gotten a 5-year sentence and served it and came out after 3.5 years.
Yeah.
You know, so.
All right. I want to take a moment to thank our members. So TYT is running a series of biopics, and these are biopics of the people who are behind the scenes, behind the cameras, making this show possible. Our members are the ones who support our show financially. They're the ones that hold us accountable and hold our feet to the fire, but they also make jobs possible at TYT. And Jennifer Roofer is one of the people that we were able to hire because of the contributions of our members or by our members. So Jen Roofer was actually a student of mine at Cal State Northridge, and she's amazing. I mean, she was one of my star students. She was super hardworking, super talented. Yes. She was in the very first class that I taught at Cal State Northridge, and I was so impressed by her. And so when a job opened up at TYT, I was like, we need to hire Jen. And the only way we were able to do it was because of our members. So for those of you who haven't seen the biopic, here's a short snippet of it. Take a look.
Well, I'm an associate producer of The Main Show. I assist Irina the executive producer.
Jesus, you have sidebars, right?
The Center for Disease Control and Prevention says 80% of those who...
After I graduated from CSUN, I got a job as a news assistant at a really prominent news station here in LA. It was honestly one of the worst experiences I've ever had.
The 67th British Academy of Film and Television Arts Awards brought stars and even royalty to the red carpet.
I think local news is very regimented and old-fashioned, and I just didn't fit in. So I just quit.
Fuck it, I quit.
People, when they watch the news, they expect it to be one thing. Walter Cronkite days, right?
Old anchormen, you see, don't fade away. They just keep coming back for more.
I think they could listen to the younger viewer, which is what we do here. We don't want outside influences. We don't want corporations deciding what we say, what we don't say. We don't want to be censored. If you work here, you know that. If you're a fan, you know that. And you don't want it either.
Ugh, I love Jen.
No, let's not go overboard.
No, I do. Okay. I do. And I feel so grateful that we were able to hire her and work with her. And she helps the show so much on a daily basis.
No, she's a grown-up. That's the funny thing is that all this talk about kids, but I always feel like Jen is a grown-up. So I always think it was a great hire.
Yeah, she is great. So, again, I wanted to thank our members. You make people like Jen possible here at TYT. So if you're not a member and you're interested in supporting the show, go to tytnetwork.com/join. All right. And by the way, if you want to check out the full video, we'll include a link in the description box below. It's a really good video, so take a look. All right, let's talk about some other stuff. Let's talk about ITT Tech. This is one of my favorite stories. All right. ITT Tech, a for-profit college that operates in as many as 38 states, has now shut its doors and will no longer operate at all. Part of the reason why is because the federal government told ITT Tech that it could no longer enroll new students because of some of its questionable recruiting techniques and because of the massive amounts of student loan debt that its students have to take out just to be part of the institution. Now, the company that operates the for-profit chain, one of the country's largest, announced that it was permanently closing all its campuses nationwide. It blamed the shutdown on a recent move by the U.S. Education Department to ban ITT from enrolling new students who use federal financial aid. So federal financial aid is really the heart of the issue here, because what the federal government realized was through investigations, there were some questionable recruiting techniques. The students were taking out huge amounts of student loans, federal student loans and private student loans. And after they would graduate, a high percentage of these students would default. And part of the reason why they default is because they were told, hey, after you graduate ITT Tech, you're going to be gainfully employed. I'll give you an example. This is not an ITT Tech example, but for instance, some for-profit colleges would have a chef's program, right? And then they would show potential students statistics on, you know, how many of their students graduate from the program and then get gainfully employed. What they included in those statistics were people who got hired at McDonald's. Okay, so they take out these loans. In some cases, the schools were not accredited. In this case, it was accredited, although the organization that had accredited ITT had decided, it turns out that there is some shady business going on and we need to really reconsider this. Now, the shutdown will affect about 35,000 students who are preparing for the start of classes this month. It will also cost more than 8,000 individuals their jobs. The students and others who left the school within the last 120 days would be eligible to have federal loans for their ITT education forgiven if they want to start over at another school, education department officials said. So there are really two options for the thousands of students who went to ITT Tech. You can actually apply for debt forgiveness if you do not plan on continuing your education. Or you can transfer some of your units to some other college that will take it, and then you will not be forgiven for the loans that you took out, but you can continue your education at an accredited institution.
I mean, it's a disaster. You know, again, 8,000 people losing their job, there's nothing good about that, and 35,000 students at the bare minimum significantly inconvenienced.
Yeah.
And it's not like every for-profit college is bad, and everything that happens at every for-profit, there are benefits. Mm-hmm. People, you know, so, but it's still, it's a seedy business. We were talking before about the story that, even though you wrote about it months ago, I guess, it is out today again, of Bill Clinton getting $18 million from Laureate for-profit college. And there's been a significant box, that's a significant, there's no allegation of doing anything. He didn't even lobby for them,
yeah.
And neither did Hillary Clinton. But it's gross, and $18 million. $18 million. Like, how do these guys have $18 million to give to a guy who didn't lobby for them? Although merely having Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State and having Bill Clinton be their chairman emeritus or whatever title they gave him, obviously helped them significantly, because that enabled them to raise money, that enabled them to go to Congress and get taken seriously. You know.
Yeah. So let me give you some details on that, because it was an insane story that I wish got a lot more attention during the primaries, but of course it didn't. So Hillary Clinton, while she was Secretary of State, was part of a Department of Education meeting, right? And so, you know, federal officials were meeting with different representatives from different college campuses to have a conversation about education policy. And so there was one representative from Laureate that Hillary Clinton was really pushing to be part of that conversation. And so after that meeting took place, what a coinkydink, right? Bill Clinton all of a sudden gets this position within this for-profit institution. And as a result, he gets paid tens of millions of dollars in what I believe was a four-year time span.
Five years, 17.6 million.
Insane, okay. So look, we have discussions about money in politics all the time. And you know, money in politics, politicians' connections to certain corporations, certain for-profit businesses, really shape the types of policies that come out. And I'm glad that the federal government is going after some of these more fraudulent for-profit colleges, but these are all things that everyone should be aware about. Like, these are not things that were covered in the debates or the town halls. And I wish that we focused on policy a lot more than the nonsense that we've seen during this election.
Let me read two paragraphs from Slate, because this sort of, but what was Bill Clinton's precise role? As the Washington Post and others have reported, he essentially seems to have been a paid mascot. Mm-hmm. Clinton's tenure as honorary chancellor lasted from 2010 to 2015. During that time, Laureate pasted his face on brochures. It hung his picture on campus hallways. It sent some apparently thrilled students to attend the Clinton Global Initiative Conference in New York. For less than the cost of a Super Bowl ad each year, Laureate got to associate itself with one of the world's most beloved political figures. Not a bad deal. Given Laureate's global footprint, Bill's gig as a celebrity endorser might make one wonder whether there were conflicts of interest with Hillary Clinton's State Department, but there's really no evidence of favor trading. The Trump campaign has made a bogus charge that the State Department funneled $55.5 million in grants to a company through USAID, USAID, but in fact the money went to an independent nonprofit, InterAthlete, blah, blah, blah. So they, again, so there's no evidence that she put her thumb on the scales in any way, as Slate says. But I am still confounded why Bill Clinton, who has access to $18 million in a lot of ways, and I get it, man, $18 million is $18 million, mm-hmm. to Brad Pitt, to Warren Buffett, to Donald Trump, to you and me. Like, mm-hmm. you know, somebody asks, you want $18
million? It means a lot more to you and me than it would to Warren Buffett or Bill Clinton. But I get what you're saying. It's still $18 million.
Yeah, I don't think it does. I think $18 million is $18 million. It would change our lives. We'd have access to things that they already have access to. But there is... It is hard for even the wealthiest people in the world to say no to $18 million.
If I ever saw $18 million in my bank account, I would literally weep, like out of happiness. Like, I wouldn't stop crying. I remember one time when Cenk, you know, gave me, you know, a moderate raise.
$1.8 million.
No, not even close. But a moderate raise, and I literally teared up.
Right.
He told me at a restaurant.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God.
Like, and it was like, we're going to give you
the best day of my life.
You're going to get another $80 a week. Yeah. Right.
Oh my God. Don't be that generous.
Right. Totally.
Yeah.
$4,000
but anyway,
a year. Yeah.
Dumb idea to accept that position and accept that money. However, is it a dumb idea? I mean, is the American electorate really going to know about this aside from the people who watch this show and read Slate? Not really. I mean, I don't know what kind of impact it's going to have on the election. No, I do. It's not going to have any impact on the election. And that's the part that really bothers me. So.
Right. Well.
Anyway, guys, we got to go. We have to take a break and set up for the town hall. You don't want to miss it, so stick around. And for our members, because of the town hall, there won't be a post-game show today, and we won't be doing TYT Classics. But definitely stick around and watch our town hall coverage. All right, guys, we'll see you soon.